When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Reality radio for a really great future.
We're talking real money.
It's time to talk about your money. We're going to talk about money, but we're going to be real about it. We're going to get real with money. We're going to be realistic. We're going to tell you the real truth. We're going to tell you the facts, not the myths and legends. No alchemy here, just pure science. So, if you want to talk about money, how you can make more of it, spend it better, save it, invest it, avoid getting ripped off, call us. I'm Don McDonald. That's Tom Koch. That's who us are. And our phone number is 855-935-TALK, 855-935-8255. It's easy and it's freezy. Not freezing.
That means it's cool advice?
Cool advice. Some of the best, coolest advice ever. It's the wonderful stuff. We try, but the main thing we try to do here is we try to get everyone to do what needs to be done to build the wealth we're going to need for big things down the road. Some of those big things could be a house, a car, a college education, vacations. But the biggest one of all is...
But do you recall one of them?
Oh, sorry. Jeez. I was on a roll.
You were. Sorry.
No, I'm
not. You're going to be happier when I'm gone.
I'm all thrown off. Good thing he's going to watch a soccer game at the bottom of the hour. The biggest thing for which we save of all, what is it? It's retirement. No matter how much you love working, at some point you are probably going to retire, if not entirely, at least a little.
And that's a good point, by the way, because I think many people still believe I don't have to do anything.
Huh?
Remember, it's only half of America that saves anything.
I know, but how are you going to live in retirement if you don't save
something? I think a lot of people
think
Social Security will take care of it.
And that's why today on the program, until we have callers, we are going to go through. This is a great article from Kiplinger's.
Yeah.
About the nine most common wealth building mistakes you might be making. And there's only really one with which I have any quibble.
But yeah, there's a few that I didn't like.
Yeah, a little. Okay, but let's start at the biggest one of all. Before he gets into song again.
Okay, no more songs.
And he just said it. The biggest failure is failing to contribute to your retirement accounts.
Yeah, and it's still, to this day, the number of people that do it is still, I think, less than half. Now, there's some other... accentuating because some people don't have the plan, right?
Right.
That they can put into at work. That's fair.
Okay, but a lot do. A 401k or a 403b or a 457. And many of those will actually hand you free money in your account.
Well, I was getting to that.
Yeah.
Like, at least get that because...
Do you want free money? If a $20 bill was laying in the street, would you pick it up?
Bend over and get it? Yeah, So, failure to contribute to a retirement account is probably still the biggest mistake people make. And here's an idea, because you're going to say, well, I would do it, but I can't afford it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the number one.
It is.
Then I wouldn't be able to pay the mortgage. I wouldn't be able to pay the et cetera, et cetera. Okay, fair enough. Here's an idea. How about 1%?
Or how about sneak up on it from behind with like an Acorns account?
Where you can
do an Acorns IRA, you just round up your purchases. So the stuff you buy, you don't even see it. It kind of sneaks out of your pocket and runs over and gets in an investment.
I love that. A rounding service where you make a purchase and part of the purchase goes into your savings. In this case, it would be your IRA or Roth IRA.
Yes.
You do nothing. It requires no discipline. You don't have to write a check. You don't have to change your income at all.
And we forget that the 401k at work, you might get a match, but you get a tax deduction, or if it's a Roth, tax-free growth for the rest of your life. If you don't have one at work, then you can do a regular IRA and get a tax deduction, or a Roth IRA and have tax-free growth for life.
Now,
there's so many benefits to doing this.
There are. And so, again, going back to how to get started, here's the thing I truly believe. Anytime you've made money, earned income of any kind, and if it's a teenager and they don't know how to do this, you do it for them. Something is set aside. It begins the discipline, you begin the understanding, and you begin to see how markets work over the long haul. That's important, too.
Yeah, how compounding works over time. And one of the ways, as a parent, you can start to instill this, and we are big believers in this, instead of gifts of stuff, give them gifts of Roth IRA contributions when they're working. 855-935-TALK. Give us a call.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
In medicine, a second opinion might save your life. With investing, a second opinion might save your future. The trick is getting one without a high-pressure sales pitch. Well, I'm Don McDonald, and if you've been listening to Talking Real Money, you know that our goal is to help everyone create a brighter future by investing and managing money better. That's why, in addition to helping everyone on our show and podcast, we are also committed to making our 100% fiduciary advisors at Appella available to help everyone make the best financial decisions based on science. So if you're being pitched a financial product or a system, make sure you get a second opinion with no cost, no obligation, and no annoying sales pitch by going to TalkingRealMoney.com or call 800-386-3004. That's 800-386-3004 or TalkingRealMoney.com.
Your guides to a really great financial future. Tom and Don are talking real money.
And as the hour continues, we will continue to share the nine biggest money mistakes, or some of the nine. We may not get through all nine of them, given the time constraints, but we also want to talk with you at 855-935-TALK. And Jim, it's your time. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, guys. Really enjoy your show since started listening a few months ago. Don't think I've missed a single episode.
Thank you.
I'm a retiree about 2 years in. I'm in my income valley years until I take Social Security at age 70. I'm doing Roth conversions, have a plan in place and all that. I've used financial advisors in the past, and I'm currently a do-it-yourselfer. It's almost a hobby for me. My question is about the 4% withdrawal rule. And we're living on that these days rather easily. My question is, if I hire a financial advisor and they start charging me 1% of my assets every year, doesn't that mean that therefore I need to start living on 3% a year rather than 4% a year?
It's really well put. I love that. I do. Here's a couple of things to think about. And congratulations on your retirement and the fact that you're making some good decisions here, right? I love the fact you're waiting on Social Security. You're doing Roth conversions. That's terrific. Two things I think you should consider. Number one is, and these are not our numbers. These are numbers done by Vanguard. Vanguard has done studies of looking at what a good financial advisor does for people and what impact that has. I'm talking 100% fiduciary fee-only advisor. Vanguard has found with the proper fund selection, with the proper rebalancing, with the proper management of those assets and keeping you on the track, whether it's whatever's going on in your life or whatever's going on in the world, that has added about 3% a year to the return of people's portfolios, right? That's their study. You can go look it up online. That's
you just look up a Vanguard Advisors Alpha. It's a study. Yeah. And it was a really detailed study they did. And so what we're saying is, yeah, it feels like you're going to be paying a good advisor 1%. But they found that you'll be paying an advisor 1% to make more than you will probably make because of one better portfolio asset selection and rebalancing and the psychological benefits. Now, is that 100% across the board every human being on the planet? No. This is a general number.
And that somebody asked me recently, when do I get the 3%? A client said, when are you paying that? Like, well, we don't actually give you the 3%. That's part of the overall work. Here's another thing to consider, Jim, that I think is worthwhile. The reason that I have an advisor is I am the person in my family who handles all this, and the other person is disinterested. The other person really doesn't know any of this, and the other person I don't think is ever going to get any more knowledgeable about it because it's just not what she's focused on. So therefore, it's worth it to me to know that should anything happen to me, and expectedly or unexpectedly, there's someone there to take care of all this into the future for that other person. And I think that is overlooked by most people. They just think, nah, I got it. I'm smart. I'm like Jim. I've got this figured out. And they don't need anybody. And the reality is, at some point in our lives, well, we probably all do need a professional for various things, whether it's health, wealth, or whatever topic it is.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard you guys refer to that Vanguard study before, and I appreciate that. I get a lot of the psychological hand-holding, you know, from you guys on a daily basis, and Paul Merriman and others
all right.
that I listen to.
We need to stop this.
The,
we're hurting everybody in the business.
Head.
No, I'm kidding.
We're going to be meaner now. Yeah.
No. Here's the thing. There are people for whom, at any point, it is there are always exceptions to every
sure.
rule.
Of course.
But we believe that for the vast majority of people in this country and everywhere, that professional advice, if it's the right kind, and the problem, Jim, is that, and there have been studies done on this, one study showed that 99% of all people who claim to be a financial advisor of some sort are not always giving fiduciary advice. 99%.
Yep.
That's the tough part.
I've had my share of those guys.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for that.
As has everyone. And so that's the real rub. And that's why I don't blame people for wanting to do it on their own. I really don't. Because you're going to be right. better to right. you, particularly if you have people like us. And I'm not being I know that sounds a little cocky, but the reality
well, we're
is
we're going to go over, we're going to come over to his house and steal his radio so we can't listen anymore.
Yeah,
the
fact is, if you do have somebody who keeps you on the straight and narrow, it's like having an advisor as long
True.
As you listen.
Yeah.
But boy, let me tell you, we got a lot of calls lined up, and I can guarantee you, out of one of the calls today, somebody didn't listen.
Yeah.
Guarantee
yeah. it. I remember doubling down the day after the 87 crash.
Good for you.
Holding my nose during the COVID crash and all that. I guess my real question was, I didn't think that Bingen had built in a 1% advisory fee into his analysis, and the 4% was on top of that, but I didn't know for sure.
Well, when we show numbers, we include our fee
we,
in
yeah,
it because
exactly.
we have to.
When we
and
show historic
works.
Numbers, it's yeah. always after the fee, and we run all kinds of scenarios, and we find the 4% with inflation with the right kind of portfolio has in the past, in every possible scenario we could come up with, worked. With the right yeah. portfolio. It doesn't yeah. work with too few equities. Equities are the key to making all of this work.
Yeah, yeah. And your point on having a co-pilot, if I get hit by a bus tomorrow, because my wife is not going to look at this stuff ever, so that's well taken. So
all right,
thank
Jim.
You very much.
Thank you, Jim.
It.
We
keep
appreciate
up,
you.
Keep up the good work.
All right, sir,
appreciate
take care.
It.
Thank you. 855-935-TALK. Craig, you're on. Welcome to the show.
Hello, can you hear me?
We can. Thanks for calling.
Oh, sure, yeah. Well, my name is Craig. Number one, I enjoy your show. Number two, I checked in and got some good information and advice from your advisor, Appellate, and very nice gentleman. Anyway, one of the first words, I've been a real estate agent broker for over 48 years, even though I'm still only 29. And one of the first words I learned in the business was the word fiduciary, which you use a lot on your show. I just wanted to clarify some, miscalculation when it comes to, in terms of disclosure, fiduciary, the sellers are always aware of what their costs are. You know, it's all negotiable and you let them know. I think what's happened is, this big lawsuit on the East, basically Midwest and East, has to do with buyers that I don't know how they could not have not understood that they were, you know, in purchasing a home, they're certainly with their agent was certainly going to be rewarded a commission fee. And so the big question is going to be when a lot of this changes, I believe somehow in July again, that how are buyers, especially first time home buyers, expected to come up with the additional cash to pay a buyer's agent.
No, that is the downside that I see. I get it. Because right now that 3% or 2.5% right. or 2% that they pay, that's built into the price of the home, which means they can finance some of that.
Yeah, it makes it easier, to more palatable, no question.
Yeah. But it's also going to change the way – what it possibly opens up is the – and, in fact, I think it almost definitely will – is that buyer's agents are likely to become more internet and AI-based at smaller and smaller fees on that side of the transaction. And the seller's agents are going to, you know, they're going to get their 2 or 3% out of the seller's sale of the home. But on the other side, I think we're going to see a lot more technology involved like we've seen in other industries. Thanks so much for the call. 855-935-TALK is our number.
Tom and Don are talking real money. For your real life and real future, Tom and Don are talking real money.
And funny, Tom, I recall very clearly I was on the radio. I've been doing a talk show since 85, and I was on the radio in the early days of the online travel explosion,
yeah.
where people started
mm-hmm.
booking their tickets on online sites and directly through airlines. And the travel agents at the time, I got more pushback and argument from them.
Of course.
They called all the time. They go, "You're wrong. You're absolutely wrong. People will not buy their airline tickets or book their hotels online. It's too complicated. There are too many variables. They need us." Argue, argue, argue. They argued nonstop. Why? Because they're protecting their income.
Their livelihood.
The reality
is, that's it. Yeah.
I got to tell you, I'm sorry, real estate people, but a lot of you are out of business.
Basically all the press is saying, but we'll see.
I think it's the reasonable number is probably 50% of real estate agents in America with a combination of factors.
I mean, strongest there are statement of the show.
There
yeah,
are a
okay.
combination of factors going on, but right now, I don't, if I'm looking at houses, used to be I called my realtor to look at houses, my real estate agent.
Now you just go on your computer.
Now I go
on your phone.
Online.
Yeah, right.
And it's so easy. And I can look at the house. And soon, I mean, think about it.
30 pictures, yeah. 40 pictures, et cetera. Yeah, yeah, it's right there.
And I certainly there's the seller's agent. I get the seller. We were looking at a house. Weirdest thing. Weird story. I'm going to get to the caller in a minute. Weird story. A friend of ours said, "Well, you should consider," because we were talking about moving like we do sometimes. "You should consider moving up to Marblehead." And I went, "I'm not moving to New England. It's cold up there." "Oh, yeah. No, Marblehead is beautiful, blah, blah, blah." So I got online. I got on Zillow and I started looking at properties in Marblehead. I said, "They're going to be like millions of dollars. Come on. It's Marblehead." Well, we found a condo on Marblehead for $150,000. Now, it's Marblehead.
$150,000.
This was a month ago. So I'm thinking, Debbie and I are talking, we're going, maybe a summer place in Marblehead for $150,000. It was a studio. It wasn't big.
Right,
it was a studio condo.
$150,000.
And it was a block from the beach. And I'm going, "Well, we should look into this." And what did we do? We went online. We got in touch with the selling broker. They took us on a FaceTime tour of the property. We actually toured the property via FaceTime. And when we're looking at it, we go, "What is that big spot in the middle of the wood floor? What is that? Can you get a little closer to that?" And they got a little closer, and it's like the oak floor is rotten. You can see it crumbling.
So the floor might have to be replaced.
We said, "Is there any chance, what's under that?" Turns out there was a little basement. So we said, "Can you go down there?" And they went down there, and for some reason, water had been destroying that wood for years, and the floor was being held up with 2x4s. Not 4x4s or 6x6s.
I thought it was going to be an Edgar Allan Poe kind of situation,
well,
so I was a little worried about under the floorboard.
Right. So anyway, we decided not to get that house. But the industries are changing. I'm thinking, Tom, I truly believe the same thing's going to happen for parts of the investment business, that the hand-holding, the human hand-holding, is going to be the last thing to go. But the building of portfolios, the work of most brokers' work will merely be prospecting. And most of it is that.
Transactional only.
Transactional yeah. only.
I agree.
Computers are changing the way we live. As a matter of fact, just another aside, my wife got me in on a career fair at our local high school in the next few weeks. And I'm thinking about it. I said, Debbie goes, do financial. I went, no, I don't want to do financial. No, I don't want to tell kids to get in the financial industry. I said, I'll do broadcasting and podcasting and voice work. I'll do those.
Right. Yep.
But I got to thinking about it. I go, kids are going to be really interested. They're going to want to go into broadcasting or podcasting or whatever. And I'm going to have to tell them that even then, if they want to go into broadcasting, and I can feel a head nod. I'll feel a head nodding back at the station in a minute. There's no money in it.
Not a lot, unless you're really at the top.
Right at the top of the industry. For most people, there's not a lot of money in it, and that is going to keep... it's going to continue that way for a very long time. 855-935-TALK, our number. Give me a call.
Tom and Don are talking real money. Reality radio for a really great future. We're talking real money.
Well, Tom snuck away, apparently he said to go watch a soccer game. I have no idea. I'm Don. Thanks for being there. Give me a call, 855-935-8255. Let me help you get money right so that you can have more of it. And Joe, you're up next. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. I'm so glad to meet you. I've been trying to call you for quite some time.
Well, thank you for
doing
it. I
have a few questions. Can you hear me?
I hear you perfectly. Yes, ma'am.
Thanks. I am trying to open a money marketing, and I don't know which way to go. Do I need to? I've been talking to New York Life and Edward Jones, and I also need to open a nudity, if I'm pronouncing that right. I'm a little dyslexic. But I want to do both, and I want the best money marketing that's going to get the best percentage for me. So I'm kind of lost.
Well, first off, let me suggest something. And remember, this is from someone with 40 years of experience in this business.
Right.
Do not go with either one of those companies.
Thank you. I have another meeting with one of them on the 21st.
Nope.
I posted. So the 28th, okay.
Don't just say no. Just say no. Why do you think, first off, before I get to the money market, why do you think you need an annuity?
I need a little extra cash every month that I'm not getting into my savings. I don't want to keep getting into my money is just sitting in the savings. I have over $700,000 sitting in my savings.
This is a huge mistake, Joe. Huge mistake. Yes. You're approaching this backward. You have way too much money that is absolutely, positively safe and making you no money. So, it's great to get into a money market, and probably the best money market rate you can find is, you can go with a Vanguard or a Fidelity or Schwab or use one of their accounts, and then you won't get in with a commission broker or insurance agent. And that's a good idea. Okay. At least your 700 will start making something as opposed to rotting, literally rotting in a bank. But your idea for income, not the best, because an annuity is a trade-off. You say you don't want to drain your assets, but the fact of the matter is, to get an income, you have to give your money to an insurance company.
Right.
You will never see it again.
So I'm better off just pulling a month if I need it instead of giving it to somebody else.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. But let me tell you, I would be absolutely, totally remiss if I didn't suggest that you, problem is you're talking to people who are non-fiduciary advisors. New York Life, Edward Jones, okay. Those are always fiduciary advisors. Sometimes the Ed Jones person may act as a fiduciary, but not always. And so you never know when they're doing what's right for you and not. And again, this is not,
right.
Joe, this is not a sales pitch on my part, okay? Please
right.
understand
and
that.
Me to invest in stocks too.
I want you, stocks. No, here's what I want you to do. I want you to call this number or go to talkingrealmoney.com and set up an appointment with one of our advisors. Even set it up with Tom. In fact, I guarantee you, Tom will talk to you. Okay, and sit down with you and look at what you have and then talk to you about risk and reward and building an income stream and what it would take to do that. Call him at 800-386.
Write this down.
Okay, can you write it down?
1-800-386-3004.
Call on a weekday.
Okay.
Ask for Tom.
Okay.
And blame me.
Okay.
Because he's not here, so he has to take your call, and he will anyway. And just set up a phone meeting with him so that he can look at your money, where it is, and what you need from it. He'll ask you some very probing questions about what you need this money to do for you. How much income do you need from it? And then how can you best structure that money without paying big commissions to New York Life or Edward Jones?
Right.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, they want to take it off, invest it, and do all that.
Yeah, no. Just from now on, say, no, I've got somebody else. Thank you, guys. And they'll argue with you. They'll say, oh, no, who, what, where? Just say, nope, not interested. Thank you so much for your help. And then call and talk to Tom. Thank you so much, Joe. I wish you well. 855-935-TALK.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Do you suffer from hodgepodgeitis? I'm Don McDonald, and hodgepodgeitis is a disease of your investment portfolio whose symptoms include lots of stocks, loads of random loaded mutual funds, and maybe an annuity or two. Most who suffer from hodgepodgeitis dread opening their quarterly portfolio statements. They feel lost and confused. Investing seems overwhelming and the financial future uncertain. If you believe you suffer from hodgepodgeitis, see a 100% fiduciary investment advisor immediately. A proper diagnosis is the first step to creating a portfolio with a purpose based on a personal plan. Start on the road to recovery now by scheduling a free meeting with an Appella advisor at TalkingRealMoney.com. There is no cost, obligation, or high-pressure sales pitch. Take the first step at TalkingRealMoney.com or call 800-386-3004. Hodgepodgeitis is not a real disease, but treating it has been shown to improve mood, reduce fear, and even lead to a brighter financial future. Results may vary.
Your guides to a really great financial future. Tom and Don are talking real money.
Now, the lovely thing about the current situation, and it is a very unusual situation where we have the shortest term money paying the most, more than longer term money. Right now, Joe, you could make $3,000 a month in a 5% money market. You could pull income and never touch your principal. So you could do that. The problem is it's for now only. If rates go down, that income will go down, which is why the portfolio has to be properly balanced and diversified, and you need somebody to help you do that who isn't going to sell you stuff. As a matter of fact, that's number two on our list of common wealth building mistakes. So let me get to that. 855-935-TALK is our number if you want to give me a call. Here it is. Number five on the Kiplinger's list of nine common wealth building mistakes: neglecting to balance your safe and risky investments. In other words, failing to diversify a portfolio. You need both sides. In fact, you need all kinds of sides. You need short-term money for emergencies. That's your money market. Then you need some fixed income investments, bonds or CDs. That's your relatively safe, relatively stable money that isn't going to scare you to death and make you a little bit. Then to keep those assets growing to help you keep up with inflation and to have a decent income, a better income over a longer period of time, you need a massively diversified portfolio of stocks to go with it. So you must diversify, and we hear example after example of people who are not diversified, and we see it all the time. Number three is reacting emotionally, which fits right in. This is one of the reasons why so many people keep so much money in absolutely safe investments that will at some point in the future not pay as much. That fear is keeping you from doing the things you should be doing to cover your portfolio for all types of markets. You need to avoid the greed when things have been going well, and you need to avoid the fear of those times when things don't go well. And remember, when it comes to equity investing, 3 out of 4 years have seen stock prices rise. Only 1 out of 4 have seen declines. And what's really interesting, if you look at a chart of the up and down years, you'll find that the up years overall were on average far bigger than the down years. And that you may go, well, why is that? Because it's totally logical. The value of equities must rise as the value of the economies that are represented by those stocks rise. And the global economy has become more valuable steadily over time. Yes, there have been dips, but they've been relatively minor. And then the next growth spurt has been even bigger. And hey, another good thing. Right now, we're seeing high productivity, at least in the American economy. And globally, we're seeing it to some extent. That usually translates into higher values for companies because they're getting more out of their workers. So you need to avoid getting caught up in the emotions of the whole thing. And one of them that I'm not really sure what this means. I think I know, but I don't think it's that important. And that's the failing to build a solid financial foundation. I really think that should be failing to create a plan for your money. And this one's getting into, you know, not spending properly, having too much debt, high interest debt, those kinds of things. But they could all be part of a plan. After that, we have the idea. They said, this is not the best way to put it. This advisor said, misunderstanding the concept of buy low and sell high. Nobody can buy low and sell high consistently because of number three, our emotions. You're not going to get in when the markets are terrible because at the time they feel terrible. And you're not going to sell when they feel great because, well, they're just going to go higher from here, you say to yourself. So the only way to consistently buy low and sell high is to create some sort of a disciplined approach, as with everything in money. It's got to be disciplined. So how do you buy low and sell high? By rebalancing. By every year or every 6 months or when you reach a certain threshold, sell some of your winners and buy some of your losers. And we're not talking about individual stocks. We're talking about segments of the economy. For example, if you have a U.S. and international portfolio, just those two, and U.S. stocks have been rising, which they have, you should be, and this is something that people don't like doing, you should have been all along selling your American stocks and buying more international stocks to keep the balance where it was before, which I hope was somewhere around 50-50 to maybe 40-60 international to U.S. So you got to make yourself do it. And the only way to make yourself do it is to make it a discipline, and that involves, it's the only way it's going to work. Rebalancing. This one I don't get at all. Neglecting to identify your wealth building savings rate. What in the world are you talking about? It sounds very confusing, but really what they're saying here is you got to know what you're going to need. That's really what it comes down to, and that's part of the plan. How much money are you going to need to live the life that you want to live particularly in retirement. That's the first step in the risk-reward equation. You need to know how much money you're going to need on a monthly basis. That's going to tell you what your nest egg needs to be to create that. Once you know what your nest egg needs to be to create that, you can look at your current situation and determine whether or not at your stated risk tolerance you're going to make it there. If not, then you either have to add more money or increase your tolerance for risk, or increase the risk you take and tolerate more. So that one's not well defined. We just got into this one a little while ago, mixing up short-term savings and long-term investing. Short-term savings, that's what money markets are for. That's what one-year CDs are for. They're not for long-term investing. The long-term investing are your longer maturity bonds, which we don't want to own right now because they don't yield much, but we want to own them because we need that stability of rates, and it's the stocks. You've got to have both sides. Comfortable or not, determine the most you can be comfortable with, and then maybe even pull back a little from there. Here's the one I disagree with the most. It's a mistake, they're saying, to be renting as opposed to owning a home. Yes, in the past, homeowners have had substantially higher net worth. And yes, owning a home can be lucrative, but in some parts of the country, it's been terrible. And so it's not an absolute. Yes, sometimes owning is better than renting. Other times, renting can be better than owning, particularly in retirement. That may be a time when you want to get out from the expense and the size and the pain of a house and consider renting so someone else has to take care of all that stuff. One more actually coming up, but you can call me at 855-935-TALK.
Tom and Don are talking real money. For your real life and real future, Tom and Don are talking real money.
Welcome back. I'm Don. Tom snuck away. He snuck out of the studio, headed home to watch a soccer game. Apparently you know where you stand with him. 855-935-TALK. That's our phone number here. You can call every Saturday from noon to 2 Pacific, 3 to 5 Eastern. And today we're talking about some of the big mistakes that people make with their money. This is from an article in Kiplinger's magazine. And we made it to the last one. The last one is assuming you can handle more risk than you actually can. Our minds work in strange ways. Times like now, when stocks have been doing well, we tend to be a little bit more comfortable taking risk. We think we can handle more than we can. However, there's got to be a balance. A lot of us think we can handle less than we need to. And we have to find a way to balance those two. And that's why I talk about your risk profile as opposed to your risk tolerance. Your need to take risk balanced against your ability to weather it. And the most valuable tool that we could come up with to help you determine the tolerance part. That's the easiest part of the equation is the tolerance. Go to talkingrealmoney.com and just click on the button that says risk quiz, or scroll down. It'll say risk quiz, R-I-S-Q-U-I-Z. This takes 5 minutes and you're going to get a very detailed report that's free, no sales pitch, no nothing. That's going to tell you where your risk tolerance falls based on a really scientific process. That's so important to have because that'll tell you how much you should be able to handle in stocks versus fixed income, which is there not for the income, but for the stability it provides. And you've got to find the balance between the two. And after you know your risk tolerance, that's when you can start doing the more difficult math, which is taking into account what you have today, how much you're putting away regularly, how much you need in the future, and then trying to match those up with the right risk profile for the entire portfolio. So do that, and you're going to be a lot better off. In fact, doing most of these things. Thanks for being a part of the program. I really do appreciate you being there. If you need some help from a truly 100% fiduciary advisor, we have, since we started our firm many years ago, 13, 14 years ago, required our advisors to meet with people for free. It's truly pro bono work where you can get some help determining what that risk profile is, looking at your portfolio and seeing if it's properly diversified, understanding what the future might look like under certain scenarios. And you can do it for free. You just go to talkingrealmoney.com, talkingrealmoney.com, and click on that button that says meet an advisor, or you can call weekdays during business hours at 800-386-3004, or visit again, talkingrealmoney.com.
The opinions and views expressed on this podcast were current on the date recorded. Opinions, estimates, forecasts, and statements of financial market trends that are based on current market conditions constitute our judgment and are subject to change without notice, including any forward-looking estimates or statements which are based on certain expectations and assumptions. Although information and opinions given have been obtained from or based on sources believed to be reliable, no warranty or representation is made as to their correctness, completeness, or accuracy. Information presented on the podcast is not personalized investment advice from Appella Wealth. The views and strategies described may not be suitable for everyone.
This podcast does not identify all the risks, direct or indirect, or other considerations which might be material to you when entering any financial transaction.
Past performance does not guarantee future results, and profitable results cannot be guaranteed. We hope you realize that the information provided on Talking Real Money is for informational, educational, and hopefully enjoyable purposes only. The podcast is not trying to get you to buy or sell any financial products or securities. Instead, the program is provided as a public service by Appella Wealth, a fee-only registered investment advisor.
Please see Appella Wealth's ADV Part 2A on our website for information regarding Appella's fees and services.
Appella Capital, LLC, DBA Appella Wealth, is an investment advisory firm registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission. The firm only transacts business in the states where it is properly registered or excluded or exempt from registration requirements. Registration with the SEC or any state securities authority does not imply a certain level of skill or training. Appella does not provide tax or legal advice, and nothing either stated or implied here should be inferred as providing such advice. Thanks for listening, and please visit TalkingRealMoney.com for more information and important disclosure related to performance of any specific index or fund quoted in this podcast.
And the lawyers get richer.